Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
This is a time of year when industry and certainly commerce is very busy. I would not like to walk into the Amazon warehouse just north of here at this moment in time, because I guess it is a hive of activity. And if you're out of work and you're looking for seasonal work, this is the time of year to do it. The post office, the delivery services, those who are trying to get things into shops by early morning, work through the night to make that happen. I guess that for the majority of us, our working life is a daytime working life, whether it's 8 till 5 or 9 till 5, 9 till 6, whatever. The majority of us go to work during the hours of daylight. And yet for some, they are night shift workers and have to endure all that the night shift presents. In my officership, I've only ever, at one period of time, done the night shift, so to speak. And that was in our last appointment when we started street pastors up in Gloucester. And the army was right at the heart of that, to get that initiative working in the city. And street pastors, as you know, starts at 10 o'clock, works through the hours of the night till 6 o'clock on Fridays and Saturday, trying to look after all those who are out on the town. And I signed up for it, and I went on to street pastors roster for once every 3 weeks. Wow, while you were doing it, it was brilliant. Until the day after came, and that wasn't too hot at all, I can assure you. And what was even worse was the day after, because suddenly it would catch up you. And that was a little bit of a problem for me as an army officer, especially if I'd done Friday night street pastors, because by Sunday morning, I wasn't with it at all, really. But when you think about it, night shift workers, it's a difficult job. It's a really difficult job. And when you look and hear people who do the night shift regularly, they'll tell you of their struggles. They start work at 10 o'clock. And as they're starting work, they have to plan into their night shift their caffeine intake, because that becomes an important thing. Good strong cup of coffee at 10 o'clock keeps you going till 1 o'clock. Good strong cup of coffee at 1 o'clock keeps you going till 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock's a bit of a problem, because you've got to have just enough caffeine to keep you going till 7 o'clock, but not keep you awake till midday. Then they discover that actually they're expected to do the same amount of work as the day shift, but with only half the workers. And so the night shift becomes quite a busy place. And then at the end of it all, that's when the problems really start, because you've got to drive home. How many night shift workers drive home with all the windows open and the radio blaring so that they don't fall asleep and start veering off the road? And then, when they get home, they try and get themselves to bed, and suddenly at 9:30 the phone rings. And it's the mother. "Hello, son, you all right?" "No, Mother, I'm on the night shift." "Oh, I forgot you're on the night shift." "Mother, I've been working the night shift for 12 years. How can you forget I'm on the night shift?" And then just nod off, and at 12 o'clock, the man from DPD rings on the door because he's got a parcel delivery. And he looks at you gormlessly because you're in your PJs when you answer the door at 12 o'clock. And then you realise that actually all your mates are going out to the pictures that night, but you're on the night shift. See, being on the night shift is quite an arduous task. When you think about it, the shepherds that we read about in Luke 2 were on the night shift. They were on the night shift. In fact, they were doing the day shift and the night shift. That was the nature of the game. But these guys were still waiting. In the Middle East, shepherds were and still are a common sight, so I understand. People would have understood their role very well. They weren't high on the social ladder. They were often uneducated. They were rough individuals. You wouldn't have wanted to meet them on a dark night. They were looked upon with suspicion. They had a reputation for being a little bit dishonest. And so they lived most of their lives away from townsfolk. Yet, because sheep were an important commodity there, their role was highly important. Sheep provided wool for clothing. Sheep provided food for eating. In the nation of Israel, sheep were used in a sacrificial system for worship. The horn of the ram was used during ceremonial observances. And if you remember rightly from your reading of the law in the Old Testament, the Passover lamb was to be an unblemished animal, not just one picked at random. It had to be carefully tended by the shepherds. It was offered at the Passover feast as a reminder of God's deliverance from the bondage in Egypt. And so it was important that these shepherds did their job well. They had to care for these sheep. They had to provide nourishment. They had to guard from predators. And so a shepherd would have spent a lot of time with its flock, sensitive to its needs. In the evening, they would have been ushered into a sheepfold, a walled area with just one gate in which to enter and to leave. The life of the shepherd was outside all of the time. In the evening, it was under the stars. And that's exactly where we find our shepherds in Luke chapter 2. So, just what were they waiting for that night? It was more likely that they were waiting, first of all, for the wild beasts that would try and come and take their animals. They would be sat alert to the dangers approaching, rod in hand, ready to shoo away unwelcome visitors. They were rough. They were tough. Any kind of beast didn't frighten them. That was until the angel of the Lord appeared. And as the angel of the Lord appeared, they suddenly discovered something that they weren't quite waiting for. They, that night, were waiting for danger. Instead, they got the angel of the Lord shining all around them. And Luke uses the word terrified to describe their state. No bravado, not anymore. Their innermost fears were exposed for everybody to see. And isn't it funny that as the glory of the Lord appeared, then we see who they truly are. Not these rough blokes, but vulnerable men who could be frightened as much as anybody else. Not rough, not tough. Fragile human beings. That night they were waiting for danger. And perhaps the most frightening thing for them was to come face to face with the glory of the Lord. And in doing so, discover something of their true self in comparison to the glory of all around. Friends, when we meet God, there is no hiding place. When we come into the presence of the Almighty, our innermost being is known and is shown. That night, the waiting shepherds were waiting for the danger. What else were they waiting for? Well, naturally, they were waiting for the morning. Speaks evidentially, isn't it? They were looking forward to the moment that the sun would rise and they could get on back again with the business of shepherding. The chances are the beasts that would take their flock during the night would go. And as they waited for the morning to come, they were waiting for the morning because the new morning brought fresh grazing land. They'd have to get the sheep out the pen into a new place where they could eat. But you know, I think those waiting shepherds as well were waiting for a new morning, another morning. They were looking for that release from the Roman Empire that was oppressing them and their whole society. Culture in those days was desperate for a new dawn, desperate for a new morning. And you know, that night they heard a message from the angel which would bring them fresh hope for a new day. What did the angel say to them? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. You know, these people were the first to hear the news that the Messiah was here. They were the first to hear the news that salvation had come for all people. They saw the glory of God, and off they rushed to Bethlehem to see this little baby. And there in the stable on that new morning, they would see the glory of God for a second time, not through an angelic host, but see the glory of God represented in a baby, the baby Jesus. Isn't it apt that the first visitors the Lamb of God would see would be shepherds? That night they were waiting for the danger. They were waiting for the challenge of a new morning. Yet the one thing they were probably waiting for more than anything else was a shepherd themselves. The shepherds were waiting for a shepherd. The shepherding metaphor is used throughout Scripture. We know it well. We know it from the psalmist, Psalm 23. We read it in Isaiah chapter 40. The prophet there declared to the people, "You who bring good news to Zion, go upon the high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice without a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." The shepherding analogy is picked up by Jesus. You know it is. The parable of the lost sheep, where he goes looking for the one, leaving the 99 behind in Matthew 18, is a well-known analogy. John, later on in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, in the vision that he receives, he gets a vision of a shepherd. When describing the multitude in their white robes, John says this: "They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eye." The shepherds in the fields that first Christmas night were themselves waiting for a shepherd. I read this quote in a book the other day that sums that so relevantly for us too. It says this: "Even as Israel once yearned for the experience of God's generous shepherding, so do we. We want to be led by the Lord to green pastures and still waters. We ache to experience his intimate care. And in the weeks before Christmas, we get so busy with holiday activities that we almost forget the main point of the season. Advent invites us to stop, to reflect, and to remember just how much we need the Lord to be our shepherd, and just how much he is there to carry us." You know, this uneducated, low-class men, group of men were longing for direction, that would give them meaning. They gave it to the beasts in their care, but they longed for it in their own lives. I wonder what happened to them. I wonder what actually happened to them after they'd left the stable. Was one glorious night of spiritual excitement enough for them to move forward, to be changed forever? We don't know. We've no idea. I hope so. You know, God takes the initiative in coming to men. The shepherds were waiting shepherds. They were waiting for the danger. They were waiting for the morning. They were waiting for a shepherd themselves. And when God takes the initiative in coming to men, God chose to appear to these guys. They weren't high on the social ladder. They were rough, uneducated individuals. And isn't that encouraging that God doesn't look for good people? He looks for receptive people. People who will see God and respond in humble adoration. This week we're waiting. We're waiting to see. We're probably not waiting for the danger. We might be waiting for the morning, for a new day. What we are certainly waiting for is a shepherd for ourselves. Well, good news, folks, we have one. And he's not looking for us to be good. He's just looking for us to be receptive. And when we're willing to be that, God meets us and meets us when we respond to him in humble adoration. In this season of waiting, let's wait like them. And let's look for the shepherd in our own lives. Who is he? He's a shepherd at which the shepherds fall themselves. And we're going to use that lovely carol that's in our book. Just one verse of it. Only one verse. Just the first verse. Because it gives us the chance to recognize that God reaches out to us. And God reaches out to us just as he reached out to them. He reaches out to us wanting to guide us and be our shepherd. And what he says to us during this Advent season is just stop, reflect, remember. Remember that you need me and that actually I want to be there for you. And so as we sing this morning very quietly, let's just stop as we have been doing these last Sunday mornings. Let's just pause for a few moments. Let's reflect. Let's wait and see. And as we, like the shepherds, come to the one who is the Lord, may we find ourselves adoring him in our own way, very humbly this morning, and knowing him to be the shepherd of our lives. So let's sing together just this first verse and chorus. And then afterwards we're going to close our eyes as the music plays. And we're going to just reflect. And I invite you to reflect on your need of a shepherd today. The shepherds were waiting for a shepherd. How about you? Together.
Who is he? In all the story, as you speak, the shepherd's call. 'Tis the Lord of your story. 'Tis the Lord that King of glory.
Listen again to that quote. Even as Israel once yearned for the experience of God's gracious shepherding, so do we. We want to be led by the Lord to green pastures and still waters. We ache to experience his intimate care. Advent invites us to stop, to reflect, and to remember just how much we need the Lord to be our shepherd, and just how much he is there to carry us. In these quiet moments, know the shepherd for yourself. Sing it once more. Who is he on yonder stall?
Who is he on yonder stall? That is me, the shepherd's boy. Tis the Lord, O wondrous story.
Loving shepherd of your sheep, we gather here this morning, pausing before the events of the next few days and weeks to seek blessing. Help us to know this day you, in the words that are spoken, in the silence that is experienced, and in the music that's enjoyed. Help us to place aside, if only for a moment, the preparations and the decorations. And let us remember why you came. Help us to see your light in the darkness. Help us to hear your call to return to faithful living. Help us to know your blessing and your love poured out. Help us all to know life in all its fullness for this moment. And so in the silence, like the waiting shepherds, we wait. We are still, resting in your grace. Loving Lord, of all things, as we wait for the birth of the Christ child, may our hearts and souls rise and be blessed by your presence. And during this time that we spend together, and in the days to come, guide us to where you would have us be and show us how you would have us live. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.